the word. Father, we do want to thank you this morning that our God is the living God, and you want to be known as the living and true, the one true and living God. And Father, we want to come to you now and ask you to speak to our hearts, to instruct us in the way that we should go. Father, we do ask you to give us ears to hear. We pray again for that precious anointing of your Holy Spirit, without which I can say nothing and we can hear nothing. Father, help us, we pray, to glean from your word now what you want us to glean. Help us, we pray. Amen. Well, I want to read just a few verses from John 5, but before that, I just want to read a verse from Acts 1. This is the very last thing that Jesus said before he went back to his Father, to his disciples. And he said in Acts 1, I'll read verse 7 and 8. It is not for you to know times or epochs, which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. And then John 4. Just reading a few verses, first of all, from verse 27. This is the incident of the Samaritan woman and at the well, when Jesus talked to her and started speaking to her about who he was. He was the Messiah, the one who could give her living water. And then later on in the incident, Jesus, this is what it says from verse 27. At this point, his disciples came and they were amazed that he'd been speaking with a woman. Yet no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why do you speak with her?" So the woman left her water pot and went into the city and said to the men, "Come and see a man who told me all the things I have done. This is not the Christ, is it?" They went out to the city and were coming to Jesus. And then verse 39 of the same chapter. From that city, many of the Samaritans believed in Jesus because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me all the things that I have done." So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they were asking him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days. Many more believed because of his word. And they were saying to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, but we have heard for ourselves and know that this is the one who is indeed the Savior of the world." I want to speak this morning on really effective witness, how to be an effective witness for Christ. And I'm so encouraged by the word David brought this morning from the Lord, because it's really encouraging us to share the testimony that God has given us individually, but also as a fellowship, as a whole. God wants us to have a witness and a testimony as a fellowship as well. Primarily, this is going to be about you and I and our personal testimony that we have to share. But what makes for an effective testimony? What makes for something that will have an effect, as this lady's testimony did, the lady at the well, the Samaritan? Well, I want to go through a list of several things that will help us to be in a place to be effective witnesses in this day. And God is wanting that effective witness, of course. This is always what he's longed for. God wants a people that will bear witness to the truth of who he is, the truth of who we are as human beings, our need of him, the truth of his salvation. These truths about what God has done and what he's going to do, we are witnesses to this, friends. Even though we were not eyewitnesses at the time, Paul said at one point in Acts that we are eyewitnesses, but also the Holy Spirit is an eyewitness. Now, because you and I have the Holy Spirit, friend, we are, in a sense, eyewitnesses. We see with the eye of faith, and therefore we can bear testimony to who the Lord Jesus is. But you see, that was always what God wanted to have, a people who would bear testimony and witness to who he is, the one, the true, and the living God. Let me just read from Isaiah 43 to you. You can turn there if you want to. Isaiah 43 and verse 10. This is the Lord speaking now through Isaiah to Israel. "You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, and there will be none after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and there is no Saviour besides me. It's I who have declared and saved and proclaimed, and there was no strange God among you. So you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and I am God. Even from eternity I am He, and there is none who can deliver out of my hand. I act, and who can reverse it? Friends, the Lord is wanting a people today who will witness and testify to these tremendous truths, that there is but one Saviour, there is but one God. He has no, there is no comparison to Him. There's no equal to God. God wants this to be declared. He wants it to be shown and seen through your life and through my life. And as I talk about these things this morning, I'm as much speaking to my own heart as to yours. I know how ineffective my own witness can be at times. But the Lord is wanting us to be a people, excuse me, to have an effective witness and a testimony that speaks of Him and draws others to Christ. So friends, let's have a look at that passage in John 5 again. What is it first that made this woman's testimony, and any testimony, effective? Well, it was one thing primarily. She had met with Jesus. That's what made her testimony effective. The fact that she had met with the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. That's what will make your testimony, friends, and my testimony real. It will make it effective. It will make it fresh. It will make it living if we are meeting with the Lord Jesus. Now, obviously, there needs to be that initial meeting that the lady had here at the well. We need to meet with the Lord Jesus and commit our lives to Him. And knowing that if you're sitting here this morning and you've never committed your life to Him, you have nothing to share of Him. There's nothing that you can share of any effect. It'll just be head knowledge with no power behind it, with no authority to it, because you do not know the Lord Jesus. You've not met with Him. You see, this lady's testimony was real because she'd met with Jesus and she was able then to relay to others what Jesus had said to her. And that is the secret, if I can call it that, that's the key to an effective witness and testimony of our lives. If we're not meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ, friends, regularly, this isn't just a one-off meeting, of course. We need to go on meeting with Him. And as we go on meeting with the Lord Jesus, we will have a testimony. It will be up to date, can I put it like that? It will be fresh. It will be living. And it will certainly be effective. Because we are sharing the things that God has done in our lives and what He said to us and what we've seen of Him. So friends, the first and the most important thing I want to say this morning, I think, is that we need to be meeting with the Lord Jesus ourselves. If we're not meeting with Him, we will have very little to share. So can I encourage you? Can I ask the question, pose the question this morning? Are you meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you taking advantage of this tremendous privilege that we have as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, in that we have access to the Father? We have access to God. And we can meet with Him on a daily basis in His Word, through prayer. These things that God has given us, are you neglecting these things, friends? Am I neglecting them? If we are neglecting them, we will have very little to share of the Lord Jesus Christ and of who He is. Those truths, those eternal truths that the world desperately needs to hear. And as we heard just a minute ago, increasingly, perhaps in the days ahead, there will be a greater openness, in some at least, to these truths. Do we have these truths to share? Are we meeting with the Lord Jesus in such a way that He's able to relay these truths to our heart? If it's just a head knowledge, friends, it will not be effective. This needs to be real for you when it needs to be real for me. And only when it's real, because we are in that place of meeting with Him, will this testimony, this witness that we are to bear of Him and of the truths of our God and His salvation, only then would these things really be effective. So that's the question I want to ask each one of us. Are we meeting with Him? Are we in that place of meeting with Him? I want a verse to read as well from Acts 4, verse 13. Because when we are meeting with Him, what we find is, Acts 4, verse 13, what we find is that our testimony will have an effect. the way we conduct ourselves will have an effect. Let me just read from verse 13 of chapter 4 of Acts. This was after Peter and John were arrested, after preaching and speaking of the Lord Jesus and sharing of who he was. And it says this: "Now, as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that these were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed, and they began to recognize them as having been with Jesus." They hadn't been to theological college. They hadn't been training in a sort of academic way. And I'm not knocking that, those things. All those things have their place. But you see, the prime, most important thing that you and I need to do if we are to speak for Christ is we are to be with him. These had been with Jesus, and it was seen in the way they conducted themselves. It was seen in the way they spoke. They spoke with a confidence. They spoke with an authority. Those things were there because they had been with Jesus. So that's the first thing I want to say, friends. If we're going to be effective witnesses for Christ, we need to be meeting with him. It can't come from any other foundation. We need to know him. We need to meet with him daily before we can make him known. Excuse me. The next thing I want to say is this. The testimony of this lady was very personal. She was sharing what Christ had said to her. You see, when we are to share, when we are witnessing and testifying to him, yes, we can testify to the truth that the Lord has shown us, but one of the things that speaks mostly to people is telling people what Christ has done for us. What he's doing for us now. Not only what he's done for us in the past, but what is Christ doing now in our lives? This needs to be up to date and living and fresh, friends. It was personal. So the second thing I want to say is, our testimony needs to be personal. I can't share with any effect what God is doing in your life. You can't share with any effect what God is doing in my life. But we can share about what God is doing in our own lives with a real strength when we have that personal testimony. Just thinking of a couple of incidences. There's one in Mark 5. We won't read it for the sake of time, but I'll just tell you what it says. This is where the demoniac was wonderfully delivered by Jesus. And sadly, the people of the Gerasenes sent him away. They didn't want him there. And the man who was delivered, sitting in his sound mind, said, "Lord, I want to follow you, I want to come with you." He said, "Go back to your own family and people and tell them what great things God has done for you." Oh, friends, God has done great things for us. Let's be prepared and willing to tell what God has done for us. The great things, or you may think, be sitting there this morning and think, "Well, God hasn't done great things for me." Friends, if you are a sinner that's been saved by grace, God has done a great thing for you. God has wonderfully saved you and redeemed you. You might not have the testimony of a George Muller or a Smith Wigglesworth or anybody like that. But if God has saved you and has met with you and you know him for yourself, you have a testimony and you can tell of the great things God has done for you. God has done great things, friends, if he saved you. And if he's working in your life today. Another incident from John 9. Again, we won't turn to it. But this is the man born blind. And the Pharisees were trying to get out of him. What had happened to him? Was he really blind? And all of this. It's a wonderful story. And he sort of teases them at one point. He says, "Do you want to become his followers too?" And then they press him again, saying, is this man a prophet? Is he who he says he is?" And this blind man says this: "One thing I know, though I was blind, now I see. Though I was blind, now I see." Friends, we might not know all the ins and outs and all the the theology of the Christian faith. One thing we know, however, if you are Christ, once you were blind and now you see. And you can tell people that. You can share that wonderful truth that Christ has redeemed your life from the pit. He has saved you. He's opened your eyes and you have now seen him. And you can declare who he is. You can declare the truth of who he is because you've seen him for who he is. So friends, the second thing, it's personal. Just don't be afraid to share what Christ has done in our own lives. The third thing is, our testimony needs to be Christ-centered. It needs to draw people to Christ. When we are sharing what Christ has done in our lives, it's not that we're seeking to elevate ourselves so people can see how good we are and what sort of people we've become. Yes, in the sense they are, but that is all and ends in itself to point them to Christ. So that when they see that God has transformed a life, they're not being taken up by the life itself, but by the one who's transformed it. By the God who's done that effective transformation. You see, what did she say back to John 4? She said to this people in verse 29, "Come and see a man who has told me all the things that I have done." She wanted to bring them to Jesus. Friends, when we share Christ, it's to or share what God has done in our lives, it's not that we are seeking to bring them to Bethel Christian Fellowship or to a certain denomination. We are bringing people to Christ. That's all that matters. Yes, it'd be wonderful if they join with us and grow in their faith and become part of this fellowship. But primarily, our job is to bring people to Christ, to draw them to Him. The woman said, "Come and see the man." Friends, may that be our cry as well to people. Come and see the man who has done so much in our lives. Oh, friends, may we be emboldened in this day to do that. May we take hold of the opportunities God sends our way to proclaim Him and to share Him and to tell Him. Fourthly, the next thing I want to look at in verse 28. So the woman left her water pot. Isn't it interesting? This is the one thing that she had to do. The thing that was sort of uppermost in her mind was to get this water from the well, which is quite away from the home. That was the thing of most importance. But after she'd met Jesus, everything had changed. Everything changed after she'd met Jesus. Now, she left the water pot. The thing that was of prime importance was now secondary. Friends, that needs to be true for us as well. Yes, there are things we need to be doing in our lives. Our work, our families, all these things. But they must be secondary to Christ. They must be secondary. Even our families, as important as they are secondary to Christ, knowing Him and making Him known. He is the most important thing. And this lady left the water pot. Now, I don't know what your water pot is, friends. Whether you're holding on to something that you shouldn't be holding on to, whether something is a bit of a barrier to you fulfilling the purposes of God in your life. Can I encourage you, friends, leave the water pot behind. God knows when you need to get the water pot filled and when you need things and when you need to be doing things. Mary and Martha, another example. Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. Martha busy with the things that needed doing, but it wasn't the prime thing that she should have been doing. Friends, there are things in our lives that are important, that need to be done, but they must be secondary. They can't come above what the Lord has for us to do for Him. They must be secondary. Let's get our priorities right. Let's get our priorities right. Well, let's move on from that. Turn with me to John chapter 20, please. John chapter 20. So, how are we going to go? How are we going to share what God has done in our lives, what He's doing in our lives? How are we going to do that? And there's a wonderful verse that Jesus said to the disciples. We read Acts 1 earlier, but this is John 20, verse 21. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when He had said this, He breathed on them and He said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Friends, the Lord wants to send us as a fellowship and individually, as He was sent. Now, what does that mean? There's so much in that one sentence. How was Jesus sent? Well, let me list a couple of things. Jesus was sent with total dependency upon the Father. He did nothing without the Father initiating something. Friends, the fact that Jesus has told us to be witnesses to the end of the world, to fulfill that great commission, does not give us carte blanche to just go out and smash people in the face with the gospel. We need to be sensitive. And I've met, I know some believers over the years who have gone out there with a wrong attitude in this area and have done such damage for the kingdom of God because they've not gone as Jesus was sending them. Jesus is sending us in a particular way. As he was sent, so we must go. And he's sending us in the same way. So the first thing is we need to be dependent upon him. We're not going with our own agenda. We go with a dependency upon him and a full submission to him. Jesus was submitted to the Father. He did not go out and just totally ignore the Father and do his own thing. He worked in perfect unity with the Father. Friends, we need to do that. If our witness is to be effective, we need to be ones that are going out in dependence on him and in submission to him, submitting to his word, looking to him constantly for his direction. Who should we be sharing him with? How should we be sharing? What should we be saying? These things. Yes, some things will come instinctively if the Lord enables us. But we need to be looking to him. The second thing is, Jesus went with full authority. And he went, He went with full authority because the Father had sent him. If the Lord is sending us, we can go with authority. And when Jesus spoke, they were amazed at how he spoke. He did not speak like the religious leaders, it says. He spoke as one who had authority. Friends, you and I can speak as ones who have authority. And as that word that God brought through David this morning, people will be obliged to acknowledge that's the truth. They can't argue against it. Even as Stephen was being martyred, or just before he was martyred, he spoke in such a way that they could not argue with him. Now, you may not think that you're able to do that. Well, we're not, friends. We're not able to do that. But God is able to give us the enabling so that we can have an authority in how we share him and speak of him so that it will affect others. And I do believe Saul, as he saw the way Stephen died, was affected, even though he still proceeded to arrest the Christians. I do believe that he was affected by the way Stephen had died and the way Stephen had shared with such authority of who God was, of who the Lord Jesus was, and what he had done. But it's interesting as well that Jesus, after he said this, said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Receive the Holy Spirit. Acts 1, let's go back to Acts 1 and read there what we said, what we read at the beginning. And it says again, I'll read it again, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses." Friends, there can be no effective witness without the power of the Holy Spirit enabling us. We need to be a people in this day that are baptized and full of the Holy Spirit. We're living in days of increasing darkness. We cannot bear witness to Christ as an assembly and individually without the fullness of the Spirit. Being baptized in the Spirit is that initial filling, but we need to go on being filled with the Spirit. The only way our witness and testimony of Christ and what he's done in our lives can have an effect is if we are being filled and full of the Holy Spirit. He is the one that gives the enabling. He is the one that gives the words, the anointing for that. It's not of you and me, friends, to have any effective witness in and of ourselves. It can't happen. And if it did happen, it would be to our glory, and that would be terrible. But it will not happen. God will not share his glory. Well, let's just look at a couple of incidences which bear this out. Acts 4. Acts 4 and verse 8 to start with. Acts 4 and verse 8. "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them," and then he speaks to the rulers and the elders, sharing to those far greater than him. He was a simple fisherman, friends, uneducated, and yet he could speak to these educated, trained leaders and elders of the people with such authority because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Friends, we need to know that constant infilling with the Spirit if we are to share effectively. I'm speaking to my own heart as much as anybody else this morning, friends. And then Acts chapter 4, verse 31. When they prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. This wasn't a man-made boldness. I've seen a lot of that. A sort of a trumped-up boldness that puts people off. This is the boldness that God gave by His Spirit. Notice the centrality of prayer again here. There was prayer involved. God wants us to be a praying people. And as we seek Him and look to Him, God is able to give us the fullness of His Spirit. If you've never been baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, seek God for it. Pray and ask Him for God to give you that filling. But you see, these disciples have already been filled, but they were being filled again. There needs to be that constant looking to the Lord in prayer and seeking Him so that we can speak with boldness. Isn't that wonderful? You might be the most timid person there is. It does not matter, friends. God is able to take you and speak boldly through you. He is able to speak. God has not given us a spirit of fear, friends, but a spirit of love, of power, and of self-control, a sound mind. Well, moving on. I will just say, a prayerless witness will be an ineffective witness. If you are a prayerless believer, your witness will be ineffective. Learn to spend time with God each day. Learn to spend time on your knees, and God will give you something to share, and He will give you something with strength or an ability to share those things He wants you to share. Well, what else? We better move on, because we are out of time. What else will make for an effective witness? Same chapter, chapter 4, and verse 30. And this is the other thing they prayed for. And I do believe we need to rediscover something of this prayer in our day. Lord, You extend Your hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through the name of Your holy servant, Jesus. God is wanting, I believe, to extend His hand. But we need to seek Him for this, friends. We need to seek God for the miraculous in the right kind of way. There's such a misunderstanding in this area. On the one extreme, we have great hype and worked up imaginary things happening. On the other hand, there's a total disbelief that God even works in the miraculous today. God works in miraculous ways, friends. And we can seek Him for that. We can seek that in our witness, our testimony of Him. God will, in a sense, attend to those things. He will confirm His word, even with miraculous signs and wonders. With healings, you name it, God is able to do it. But we need to seek Him for that. Let's not be timid, friends. When Paul wrote to the Thessalonians in 1, I'll just read this to you for the sake of time. In 1 Thessalonians 1, when he is writing the letter to the Thessalonians, he says this: "For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but it came in power, in the Holy Spirit, and with full conviction." I do believe God wants us to be a people that share Him with power. And that also alludes to the things that God does in miraculous ways. So let's not be afraid to seek Him for these things, friends, in these days. And there's two more things I want to share. If I can find them. Okay. Next. I haven't touched on this because it's a whole sermon in itself, but our testimony, our witness, will be ineffective if our lives, our behavior, does not match our words. There's nothing worse than somebody speaking of Christ, telling of Christ, but their lives are a mess. Their lives are in a disorder, totally disorderly. Friends, that will do nothing of that will not prosper the purposes of God. We need to be a people whose lives are in order. Let's just look at a few verses before we look at one final thing. James 3 and verse 13. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. God is wanting to have a witness through our lives. Sometimes we're not able to share. Sometimes it's not right, perhaps, to speak. Just for our lives to bear witness and testimony to who God is. Do our lives reflect who the Lord Jesus is and what he's done in our lives? Or does my life reflect who I am in that old man, which is not very nice? Friends, we are going to put people off unless our lives are being transformed and changed. Unless we're reflecting him, our witness, in a sense, is only as effective as our lives are being changed. And now, as we reflect him, we need to be a people that are reflecting him. And then 1 Timothy 4 is another verse. Looking at this. 1 Timothy 4 verse 12, when Paul is encouraging Timothy, let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. Friends, we need to be examples to those around us. Young and old alike, we need to be examples to show how we are to be living, what a good life really is, as we live in Christ, as we live as his word commands us. And as we do that, friends, our testimony will be effective. You see, what happens, and I've seen it, people look to pick holes. If we are those who are known to be Christians and are alive in Christ and wanting to share him, well, you can guarantee there'll be people out there that will look to pick holes in our lives. Oh yes, he says that, but look what he's doing. Look how he's living there. Look what he's doing over there. Friend, let's be careful to make sure that our behavior, our lives, match our words. Because if they don't, it does great discredit to the Lord Jesus. Great discredit to his kingdom. And it does the gospel no service at all. So can I encourage you and myself to watch our behavior, to make sure that we're living in ways that are pure and clean and good, so that we reflect the purity of Christ, the goodness of Christ, and that he is glorified in our lives. One last thing. Something else that will make for an effective witness. I've lost my sheet, so it doesn't matter. It's gone somewhere. Ah, there we are. Got it there, yes. The last thing. That makes, I want to mention, there might be a lot more things that you can think of, but this is what the Lord put on my heart. The last thing that God will use to make us an effective witness is adversity. Smith Wigglesworth said this, great testimonies are the outcome of great trials. Great testimonies are the outcome of great trials, great tests. Friends, if you are going through adversity, if you're going through trials, if you're going through tests, and I know some of you are, and I will say this, I know all of you will. If you haven't yet, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can expect these things. But you see, those things God uses to give us a testimony. To give us a testimony of his keeping power, of his grace, of the wonder of who he is, how he has walked with us in the trial, how he's carried us when we needed carrying. You see, adversity is not wasted, friends. Trials and tests are not to be wasted in the kingdom of God. God is working in us something that will bring a testimony that will glorify God. Oh, friends, don't despise the adversity, the difficulty, the trial. Even if it is long term, even if there's something maybe you have to live with, God can use that. God wants to use it. God would use it to give you a testimony that will bring glory to God and have such an effect in the lives of others. Oh, friends, be encouraged this morning. God is wanting us to share him. Again, I'm speaking to my own heart as much as yours. God is wanting us to share him, to show him, so that as we do that in the days ahead, there will be those that will see it and hear it and be drawn to Christ. That's our desire, isn't it, to draw people to Christ so they can find him for themselves. Let's pray. Well, Father, we want to thank you this morning for the testimony that you have given us. You have given us a testimony, even if we think we have not got a lot to share. If we are yours this morning, we have everything to share. That Jesus Christ has saved us. Jesus Christ has shown himself to us. We know that he is alive, and we can tell others of these eternal truths. Oh God, open our mouths in the days ahead. Give us lives that are reflecting of your beauty. And give us that authority and boldness that is winsome and doesn't put people off because it's of Christ. Oh Father, help us. We need your help. Some of us are not very good at doing these things, but Lord, you're able to make us fishers of men. Make us fishers of men in this day, we pray, for your glory and for your sake. Amen.